Let's start out by going to Colossians 1:19. Thank God. Colossians 1:19. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Having made peace through the blood of his cross. That Jesus has made peace through the blood of his cross. That there isn't a constant war going on between us and him, between mankind and God anymore. That he has made peace. And we have to receive the peace that he has made. But God is not looking at man and constantly, you know, ready to wipe them out. God is not looking at America saying, "I'm just going to judge America." God judged Jesus. He judged sin in Jesus. The penalty for sin came down on Jesus, and we can either accept or reject that sacrifice that he made. We are not at war with God. People, religion wants to tell people that they're still, that God is still displeased with you. He still doesn't, you know, you don't measure up. The fact is, God, through Jesus, made peace with mankind. And all we have to do is reach out and grab that peace, that reconciliation that has been made for us. And that's what we celebrate on Easter, essentially, is that God, through Jesus, was reconciling the world to himself. What we could not do, he did through Jesus. Let's read another scripture, just to start out. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. Actually, I can go back to 14. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, and those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Like we said, we're the people now that are going to pass on this message that started out when Jesus was on the earth, that the people that believed in him and who he was started telling people, and we believe that witness, and now he's committed to us that same word of reconciliation that says, look, God has reconciled you to God. Be reconciled. He's taken care of it. He's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. You don't have to be perfect. Jesus was the perfect lamb. He has made the sacrifice. That's the word that we have. Like in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." But back in verse 18, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Now let's turn over to Hebrews 9:11. So God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus, through that sacrifice, through his death, burial, and resurrection, which we are celebrating today. Hebrews 9, verse 11. This is where I wanted to get to today. It says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands." That is, not of this creation. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You can go on verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus gave his sacrifice once for all. There, you know, why did Jesus have to die? Why did that equate to the sin of all mankind? I don't know how the exact equation worked out, but I know it was more than enough to pay for all sin of humanity. But from the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was an animal killed to cover them. And there was sacrifices then all throughout to cover for sin. Well, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice that made it once for all, period. That we are right with Almighty God through what Jesus did on Easter. Once for all, man, like we just read, we're reconciled to God. God is not imputing the trespasses against mankind. People don't realize they're forgiven. They just have to reach out and take what God has already provided for them. You know, people today still think they need to make sacrifices to be right with God. That's not true. You know, I just read an article on Friday. Read it every year. You've probably read about it. There are people in the world that crucify themselves, that get crucified. They don't die. They literally allow themselves to be nailed to a cross, be scourged, be whipped. I was over in the Philippines 3 years or 4 years ago, 2005, the week of Easter. And we didn't, you know, we heard all about stuff, but we didn't actually see anything because we were traveling on Good Friday. But people literally allow themselves to be nailed to a cross the way Jesus did. They allow them their backs to be beaten to a pulp. And they do it, some of them do it every year. And they think that they are buying something with God. They think that is pleasing to God. They think that they're being holy and that they're giving glory to God. Now, most of us would say that's extreme, that's ludicrous, you know, that's just out here. But religion will tempt us to do some form of that. And to think if we sacrifice for God somehow that we're making him happy. That somehow if we lay down our life, you know, in the way these people do, that somehow we suffer pain or something, that somehow we're buying something with God. That somehow if we sacrifice our time to do something, that we're really buying something with God. Jesus bought it all with God. We're not going to buy any place with God. Now, we can freely offer devotion to God. God's a gentleman. He's not going to push anything. He's not going to ever push Jesus on anybody. He's not going to push anything to do anything for him. But if we want to, out of devotion, offer things for him, to him, lay down our life for him to serve him, that's one thing. But doing things to think that it buys us something with God is an insult to the blood of Jesus. You think of it. We're one person, each of us, in 6.5 billion right now, let alone all the people that have already lived. And God Almighty's sacrifice through Jesus was greater than all the people that have ever lived, more than enough to pay for everybody. Yet somehow these people, they're misdirected. They think that if they are nailed to the cross, these people allow themselves to be nailed to a cross with huge spikes, their feet too. And they do it every year. They allow them their backs to be beaten to a bloody pulp every year, and they think it's buying them something with God. That is wicked. That is, you know, that's of the devil. People. God does not want us mutilating ourselves, but he doesn't want us, you know, just thinking that we're going to do all these things for him and wear our bodies out either. That, you know, people won't accept people actually letting themselves be crucified, but they'll think, oh, we need to just go for God and do all this stuff and just give it all for him. That's great. Give it all. Give it for him, but don't hurt your bodies and don't wear yourself out. Don't hurt yourself in the name of helping God, because you're not helping God. You're hurting yourself. Or, you know, any number of things. I'm going to give all my money and then just be destitute. and be poor and take a vow of poverty. That really buys me something with God, or that makes me holy. No, it doesn't. You don't think God wants us to actually live a decent life? Would you want your children to live destitute in poverty? No, none of us would. But we'll turn it around and we get warped when it comes to religious thinking and think, well, this is really doing me some good with God. Anytime, I mean, we're all guilty of it in some degree. We may throw out everything I just said as because we know better. I don't think anybody in here would allow themselves to be nailed to a cross. And any of the other things I've said, we may reject it. But there's something in our life where some kind of, the devil is crafty. He'll try to get something in our life that we'll buy, that we'll say, well, if I do this, then I'm just a little bit holier. I'm a little bit closer to God. That's a lie. That's again, spitting on the blood of Jesus like that wasn't enough. The Bible that we just read, it said once for all sin. He made us as holy as we're ever going to be. He made our relationship secure through him. And so doing things for him because we're so thankful is one thing. Doing things because somehow it makes us feel a little bit better or holier is another. It's akin to this other path that would ultimately, in extreme, think that we have to literally give our lives or, you know, emulate what Jesus did to somehow show that we're really devoted to God. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to die and to die that horrible death, not so that we could kind of tag after. I mean, think about it. You're kind of going a little bit there saying, well, I'll do that too, but you're not dying. These people are not dying. They're going through the motions. I guess that makes them feel good, but they can't come close to giving what the Messiah, what Jesus did. Let's read on a little further. Let's just start back in verse 13 again. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, the Old Testament sacrifices that they did continually. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15, and for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now let's skip down to verse 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. He's talking about the sacrifices, that the things in the temples were copies of what is literally in heaven. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once. At the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. If you read Hebrews over and over, he says once for all. One time Christ was offered. Christ, Jesus, paid the penalty for sin, period. Period. Otherwise, we'd have to offer it. He'd have to be offered over and over. But he was offered once for all. One time. He's made us clean through him. This thing we're celebrating today is the crux of everything that our life stems from as Christians. That sacrifice made us right with God. That it made us right with God last week. And it makes us right with God 6 months from now. That, you know, it's great to celebrate Easter. And I think it's enjoyable to, you know, to get together and to talk about it like we have. And of course we'll do that. But man, if it doesn't go beyond this Sunday, it's not doing us any good. You know, we can make a huge pageant about it. People do nothing wrong with that. But if we have these big things. We just go to town celebrating Easter, but it doesn't affect the truth of what we're celebrating, doesn't affect our everyday lives, doesn't affect us at the job, doesn't affect us in a relationship with our spouse, in everyday life, at home, where we live, then it's not doing us much good. Then it's just religion. It's just motions. Man, if we come and we just make this big hoopla and we get all into everything because we just talked about some people that, man, they go to the hilt. They celebrate Easter. They may be misdirected, but these people, they celebrate Good Friday and Easter. They go all out, but it's not affecting their life. To begin with, they think they have to do something that Jesus already did. But you couldn't accuse them of overlooking the event. But religion will take the event and make a big thing out of that. But the actual reality of what Jesus did, that we are cleansed from sin, period, once for all, for the rest of our lives, past, present, and future, for the whole of humanity, they'll spit on that truth. Religion will spit on that truth and balk at it because it's offensive. You go to tell these people that are crucifying themselves and tell them that this does not buy you anything. Do you realize you are no more holy? You may be holy in your hands, you know, or your feet. You may have some holes there, but you're not holy as in right with God. And you gave all this stuff. You don't think that would be offensive to those people? They believe that's buying them something. They believe that's showing their devotion to God. Well, how many other religious people, again, would do all kinds of good works, quote unquote, do things, you know, give of their time, of their money, thinking they're buying something with God. Thinking if they read their Bible a day, an hour a day, that's buying them something with God. If they do a certain amount of prayers, that's buying them something with God. They wouldn't say it like that necessarily, but they think they're a little bit more holy. And when they do those things, they think they're a little bit closer to God. Completely missed the point of what Jesus did. Completely. Because the cross is offensive. The true gospel is offensive to people because it makes nothing of us. Nothing. We either rely completely on Him or we don't. That's offensive to the flesh. Man, people are proud of their accomplishments. Nothing wrong with being, you know, pleased with what you do. But when everything is based on that, your self-esteem, and boy, I'm better than you because I did this, that's misdirected because really, in and of ourselves, we can't do anything to save ourselves or to bring us closer to God. It's Jesus. It's either Jesus or it's not Jesus. It's all Jesus. He said it was once for all sin, not what Jesus did plus us, plus what we do. It can't be, it's either Jesus or it's not. And that's offensive to people. That is the God, that's offensive. They would rather, hey, give me something I can do. Give me something that I can earn it. Okay, Jesus got me this close, but now I'm going to do this and I'm going to be really holy. No, it's Jesus. That's the message of what He did on the cross through His death, burial, resurrection, is that He purchased it for us. Back in the Garden of Eden, it was just Adam and Eve and God. That's what He's done, is put us back there. Relationship, we can just come, walk with Him in the cool of the day. All these works and everything, like we said, what is it, last week or whatever, all these things that we think that we're supposed to do for God, there wasn't any of that. Think about it. Garden of Eden, there was no health care. There was no sickness. There was no welfare. No social security. No military. No church. There wasn't any of these things that we take for granted. No cars. Of course, you know, technology-wise, it was a lot different. Like we said, there's probably not any money. To exchange with whom? You have everything. All these things that we think. There's no self-help books. There wasn't any Bible. No scripture. It was just God. People. All these things that we think. No pianos, no music. I mean, you could sing, I'm sure. But there's all these things that we think, well, you know, I'm going to do this with God. I'm going to live my life like this. None of it. It was just God and man. Well, guess what? Why did Jesus come? So we could be back to God and man and have a relationship and walk with Him. And that's simple. Just be like that. Not so that now we have all these institutions and all these religions and now we're going to show you how to relate to God. Strip it all away, go back to the way God created man. He created him to have a relationship with him. Go back to the Garden of Eden, and if anything can't stand that test, it's probably wrong. Now, we live in a different world, a fallen world. We do need to tell people about the gospel, about what Jesus did, because he did that to bring us back there. Of course, there's some differences, but as far as our relationship and our vital relationship and how we think that relationship should go, it should bring us back to the simplicity of when we were first created as human beings. That's why Jesus came, and only he could do it. He's the only one that could bring us back there. Let's read a couple more scriptures. Hebrews 10:10 through 14. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And let's go on. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He's perfected us forever by one offering. One, once, for all. One offering. I mean, over and over, once, one time. Jesus did it once. It's by his blood that he did it. So let's just keep reading and go back and then go a little further. We've read this verse of scripture this morning. Before. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. It's been taken care of through Jesus. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Therefore, he says in verse 19, let's have boldness to enter, because Jesus has taken care of it. Let's have our conscience... Let's have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, from feeling dirty and yucky or not worthy, or that we should be doing something more all the time, that we're not measuring up, we should be doing something more, always feeling beat down. That's the enemy. That's religion. Jesus said, once for all, I took care of it, so that you can come, just like the people, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and come and just hang out with me. You can just come back and be with me and have a relationship. Have boldness. Get rid of an evil conscience. Don't look to that. Don't look to your own self. Look to what Jesus did, that he has taken care of sin once and for all. And believe what the Bible says. Believe what the Word says. And believe that even though it's offensive to people, that humbly we go and just believe God and believe Jesus. And as messed up or as, you know, great as we are, either way, we still need to go through him. And every day that we go through him and remind ourselves of that blood and what it did, that sacrifice once and for all, that every day we can have Easter, that this is just another day that we just all come together on the same day and celebrate it. But really, we're reminded every day of the year of what our Lord Jesus did, how precious that sacrifice is, that every day we can walk in freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that we are free, that we realize it's only because of what he did, only because of that sacrifice once forever, that he sat down and said, it's done. Sin is taken care of. We don't have to be sin conscious. We don't have to always be thinking about where we've missed it or what's wrong or always be thinking that we should be doing better. If we think that way, we have not got it across to and got it through our brains that Jesus took care of sin. We should be looking at what he has done, and that will enable us to have the victory over sin. But sin consciousness, always reminding ourselves that evil conscience he's talking about, always feeling like we're not quite good enough and letting our mistakes to catch up with us every day. I mean, just always thinking we should have done better, always be conscious of where we missed it instead of Jesus' righteousness that he has imputed unto us. Then we are walking around with an evil conscience. We won't be bold to go into the throne room. We won't be bold to go before him. We won't experience what we are celebrating today every other day of the year. We get a glimpse of it on Easter, but then we walk out and we go right back to living a life less than what God has for us. Once for all, Jesus came to sacrifice, gave a sacrifice for sins once for all.